Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, welcome in. Glad you're along for the ride. A brand new drug is a brand new day. Glad you're with us.
Hot!
On a Tuesday. You know, by the way, if you're a true Southerner, there's no A in the word Tuesday. You know that?
There is no A in the word Tuesday.
You know what Charlie Pell called it? Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
JJ, are you a true Southerner? I mean, are you like born and raised in Ocala?
Born and raised in Florida. I moved to Ocala. I was like fourth grade.
Where were you before that?
Ormond Beach.
Okay, that's still Florida. Because JJ doesn't have much country in him. You ever notice that?
He does not.
My dad's from New Jersey.
If you told me JJ was from like New York City,
yeah, I think I would too.
I would buy it.
My mom is from South Carolina. My dad's from New York, New Jersey. So I have that Florida accent.
Do you say y'all?
I do.
Okay.
Do you say fixin'?
I say a lot of Southern things, but I don't have the accent.
Like I'm fixin' to wash the car.
How about when you're done with something, do you put it up?
Do I put it up?
You put it up?
As opposed to put it away?
See, in the South, you put it up. Yeah. When you're done with it, you put it on.
I don't put anything up.
You put it up.
I leave it out. I make my girl put it up.
Well, that's it, too. That was the biggest thing. My cousins in Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. I would always say, when I'm done, just put it up. My cousin, what do you mean put it up? I'm done with it. Put it up.
Right. Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, what do you mean, what do I mean? I'm done. I used it. I played with it. Now I'm going to put it up. It wasn't a complicated concept for me.
Right, yeah.
But my cousins never could get, it's put it away.
Now, the number
you put it away,
one
I'm gonna put it up.
Regional thing I hate in America is New Yorkers and how they use online. Like, they're standing in line, but they all say, I'm standing online.
I've never heard that.
I never have either. But I would despise that, too, if I heard it.
Oh, my gosh. We're about to get 1,000 texts.
They say I'm online.
Yes.
Like, when they're in line at, like, the deli.
Yes. They're all online.
Wow. Are you sure?
I've never heard
1,000% positive.
I did not know that. How about that? That's just
another
reason
why we're better.
Did they say it before, like, AOL?
Yeah, and I guess it still stuck.
Before the interweb came
right,
around?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
The World Wide Web.
All right, we got a lot of fun things to talk about today. We Southerners here. Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I'm going to have a glass of sweet tea.
You know when Charlie Pell's teams played?
Oh, yeah.
Sayerdy.
Mm-hmm.
Want me to spell that for you? Yeah.
That was a bad impression.
Sayerdee. Sayerdy. Who is it, Frank? You know what? We may be good on Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah.
You know what matters? What's that, Coach? Yeah. If we're good on Sayerdee. I'm telling you. Sayerdee.
He was a pioneer.
I loved him. God bless Charlie.
45 years before.
God rest his soul.
He should have been coaching. He'd have won every national title now.
Never lost a game. Yeah. He'd have been the Nick Saban of his time. And God rest his soul, Charlie. Yeah. He would have been the Nick Saban of his time.
Yeah.
He was ahead of the whole pay the players
That's
thing.
Right.
Scout, spy, the play, all of it.
By the way, I think Florida should just go ahead and claim everything that was taken away from them, by the way. Why not?
If
Reggie Bush is getting the Heisman
then Florida is now
the 1984 SEC champions.
Oh, a lot of things to talk about today on the program. Glad you're with us on the show today. Danny will not be here. Talk to Danny today. Danny will stop by from time to time to do quarterback stuff with us. And when there's news breaking, and then he'll certainly come back when football season gets here on his Tuesdays. The Whisper does such a good job, and you'll hear him all the time, of course, with the morning guys and with primetime. So he'll join us from time to time. A lot of things to get to. But Justin Barney is going to join us today at 5 o'clock. All the baseball playoffs, all the high school baseball stuff is going. Big lineup of teams. I think high school baseball around here doesn't get its due. And let me put that in perspective. It does get its due in baseball circles. But maybe the sport of baseball at the amateur level doesn't get its due, and therefore a city like us that has such good baseball, it doesn't get talked about enough. But the baseball in Jacksonville is positively ridiculous. The amount of times you'll turn on a game, a major league game, and there's someone from this area, it's really incredible how much it happens and how often it happens. I really believe that.
It was the hardest all First Coast team to fill out every year.
Yeah,
because you'd have guys on the third team where it's like, gosh, I wish there was is there any way I can get, you know, and it would happen every year. It was always such a tough assignment. Football could be as well, but I mean, baseball just, it was, and I think it's better now than it was, you know, 12, 15 years ago is when I was doing it. But I mean, it is just, it is ridiculous, the amount of talent, but it's sensational, and it's a tribute to the great coaching. You know, I mean, we don't say it enough. I mean, high school coaches, it's phenomenal the sacrifice that these men and women make, because they don't get paid anything to do it.
A $3,000 supplement.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a high school coach, a high school coach that's got to line the field and pick the coaches and pick the uniforms and spring practice and coach them, and if you're a high school football, I think the supplement for football is about $4,500. You're a teacher at the school making 50, 60 grand or whatever, and then you make the extra five or extra $4,000 to coach. But isn't that amazing? That of all the stuff you have to do as a high school football coach,
right?
I mean, you have no idea how much there is to it,
right?
There is ordering the uniforms, making sure the field is mowed, lining the field,
right?
Getting the booster club set up. That's before you've coached the first moment, and it's about
to, it's incredible.
Yeah,
and I understand there's people out there saying, well, you know, then if we change it, they raise taxes. Raise my taxes.
Yeah, I agree.
I know these people need to be paid more.
I totally agree with that. But the high school baseball in Jacksonville area is so good. So Justin's going to come on today. All the playoffs start today, and he'll be with us at 5 o'clock. I want to talk all about the high school landscape with Justin. He is the king of high schools in my mind in Jacksonville history.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I have great respect, by the way, for Clayton Freeman, who does it at the TU now.
Right.
Who kind of studied under Justin.
He's the next wave.
And he's fantastic.
Right.
And we've had fantastic prep guys come through here at all areas, but nobody better than Justin Barney. I mean that very sincerely.
I mean he's done it under a microscope now for 25, 30 years.
It still crushes it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, he's the best we've ever had. So Justin on the program today at 5 o'clock. I look forward to that. That'll be kind of fun. All right, so we'll do that coming up. Listen, J.J. LaSelva out of Central Ocala. I'm not a big NBA guy. What's happening with these T-Wolves Nuggets thing? I mean,
dude,
they are
rolling
down.
I was shocked last night. I got to go to bed early at halftime.
I mean, twice. Why? Give me a why.
Defense,
can I add a why for that?
Yeah, the defense and the length that Minnesota's been playing with is insane. Like, you go through the regular season, you see scores that are like 130 to 135, and you're like, yeah, these guys aren't really playing that much defense. I get it. It's the regular season. But then when you get to the playoffs, it's turned up like a thousandfold. It just shows what a joke the actual regular season has become, because we're actually having these competitive games and these teams trying on defense. And the Nuggets aren't used to it, man. Like, they are up in their face from the second they inbound the ball. Like, Murray has been – he lost his head. He's throwing stuff on the court multiple times during the plays. They were acting like they got cheated out by the refs, but it was just a domination on defense last night. I think they had like 33 points around halftime. It was over.
Denver shot 34%. They committed 19 turnovers. And again, I'm some expert.
Without Gobert, by the way.
I was just going to say, in Minnesota's best defensive player, Rudy Gobert, didn't play in the game.
The defensive player of the year,
yeah,
in all likelihood.
So 34%, 19 turnovers, and the opposing team's best defensive player, the rim protector of all rim protectors in the league these days, didn't play in the game.
They broke open a huge lead early, and you looked and you're like, Anthony Edwards hasn't even really done anything yet on offense. And then when he started to get into the flow of the game, it was a wrap. Like, he was getting to the basket with ease. That kid is sick, man.
Anthony Edwards is really good.
He might take the crown from Jokic as the best player in basketball after this series.
Yeah, he is really good. And
and he really should be the face of Team USA in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I understand there's a lot of old guard, and obviously we'll have this discussion as
LeBron
gets closer. But Anthony Edwards has got to be – he's got to be the star of that team.
I agree.
Meanwhile, Jamal Murray, who was the star of last year's finals, who was the star. I mean, Jokic was the star,
right.
But Jamal Murray was certainly the Robin to his Batman, and a good Robin. He was 3 of 18.
I mean, JJ's right. Defensively, I think – was it Barkley last night that said, this is the greatest defense I've ever seen?
Yeah,
I mean,
at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, he was like and they challenged him on it. Kenny and Shaq challenged him on it, and he didn't back off. I mean, whether that's true or not,
I think a lot of his point was in the context of this NBA.
Correct. That's the thing. Yeah. They're playing in an old school kind of intensity And to JJ's point, there I saw Jokic last night had like three looks from like 4 feet away, and he missed them all. Now he kept getting the rebound. You were sort of waiting for him to finish the play, and maybe that would be something that would get the crowd going. He missed them all.
No easy shots.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll sweep Denver. And again, I'm far from an expert, but from watching last night, I can't imagine Denver is going to be able to find enough to win four of the next five games
against
this team.
The next two on the road.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. Both these games were in Denver.
Yeah. JJ, can they come back or not?
Oh, yeah. This series is far from over. They could win this series. I mean, highly doubtful now, you know, losing those first two games at home. But they are the defending champs. Up until now, they were the best team in the NBA. I definitely think they're still in this series. I won't stop watching it, that's for sure. Yeah. But, man, it looks like a mountain to overcome at this point.
Well, and Anthony Edwards is now must watch.
Yeah,
it's like appointment. Okay, when's the next game? Okay, it's 9:30 on or 8:30 Friday night. Like,
he's so explosive. He's fun.
Yeah,
you know, he does all the Kobe Jordan moves. You know, he gets to the basket with ease, man. Like,
it's
he's
incredible.
So fast. Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Gordon's a good defender, and he was lost.
Yeah, he's a great defender.
JJ, in your opinion, is this a good Elite Eight, for lack of a better phrase, used in college phrase?
But I think the East is a complete joke. I like that Knicks series. The Knicks, they're not good. You know, like, the Knicks aren't one of the best eight teams in the NBA,
but they're in
the East, and they're probably going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Pacers, like, no, I think the East is pathetic, but the West, like tonight, is going to be legit. OKC versus Dallas is also really fun.
I mean, if you think about the West, Hayes, there's other than the Dirk Nowitzki years, none of these four teams have much heritage.
Right.
You know, now obviously the Mavericks did when Dirk was around, but other than that, there's no heritage.
OKC went to the final once.
They did, and the Nuggets won it last year. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't done anything,
but historically, there's no heritage here. It's not what we're used to seeing.
And so, I
will say, I mean, again, I'm a tepid at best NBA fan. Well, I basically don't pay attention until we're,
now it's good.
But I will say, the league is in incredible shape.
Great young stars.
I get that same sense.
All the young stars. It is just in such a great
place.
Even
Orlando's got a guy.
And that's why there's such a fight for the rights.
Yeah.
The rights are up. And I mean, you'd have told me 5 years ago there was a street brawl to see who gets the rights with NBC trying to beat everybody. To steal the TNT. And by the way, as long as Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith and Shaq and Charles are in they should never lose it. Okay. Shame on the world if all of a sudden you look up and they don't have the
apparently NBA. Chuck has like a opt out clause if they lose the NBA, he's gone.
Yeah. Okay. But if those four are separated, shame on somebody.
Right.
TNT does such a good job. I hope they keep it.
Yeah, I do too. But the point is, to your point, Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, you got LeBron playing, he's 39. You've got Kevin Durant playing at a high level still, he's 35. You've got Curry playing at a high level, he's 36. So, I mean, a kid like Edwards, you might be watching this for 15 to 20 more years.
That's right.
And then tonight we have Luka versus, what's his name from OKC? Gilgeous Alexander, who, like, a lot of people don't know him, but they're going to learn in the next couple weeks.
Do you remember
this
how close Florida
scorer,
came
man.
To getting
yeah.
him? He came down. Gilgeous Alexander.
He was committed to Florida longer than he was
committed
Kentucky.
To Florida. Flipped to Kentucky and then came down to the wire before he signed with Kentucky. He was very very close to being a Gator. What a great player he is!
And then you get to Wembanyama, who was a unanimous rookie of the year. I mean, he was
wait till he gets some players around him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's the league is in a great place.
And I worried. I probably didn't worry because I don't know that I care enough. But I assumed or thought or wondered, I guess is the better way to say it. If the extreme European influence would make people less interested. And I think for a while it might have been headed there.
Yeah, the ratings haven't exactly been amazing the last few years, for sure.
But it's bouncing back a little. You and I probably had the talk on the show 5-6 years ago, Hayes, about will the European influence and the fact that you didn't know any of these players till they got to the league have a negative effect, that's as the stars were slowly but surely being weaned off? I don't think so. I think people know Jokic and people know the European players.
Luka.
They know Luka.
Giannis.
They know them all better than I thought they would. Do you get that sense?
I do, yeah. And again, what these guys, what they can do on the court, it's just magical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
And that's why.
It's so much fun to watch. So we were watching the Panthers game last night and they got routed. So quickly went to the, you know, T-Wolves. And it was, I mean, inside of like 5 minutes, Anthony Edwards did three things where I was like, Gene, you got to see this. Like, yeah. I mean,
blocks, steals, dunks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And the beauty of the whole T-Wolves thing is because the Nuggets looked somewhat invincible, defending champion with about everybody back, and a great player and a great supporting cast and a great shooter. The fact that this team nobody knew much about, they should have. They're the third seed, by the way. They're not an eighth seed.
And but, the T-Wolves were the number one seed for most of the season, actually.
So they have a really good team, but nobody knew. Right. Well, now people know. So now, to your point, Hayes, it's a story. The T-Wolves are now a story. Maybe more of a story than the Nuggets were all of last year, and they won the damn thing. You know, for whatever reason, and Anthony Edwards' great play is part of that. You know, so interesting stuff. So we'll talk more about that.
I'm glad you guys are watching. Yeah, that's exciting.
It's caught my attention. Again, I'm like Hayes. I can't ever masquerade as a fan when I start watching late in the playoffs. But yeah, it's got my attention. Jaguars schedule still hasn't announced. Have you heard whether or not they expect to announce the schedule before they start play in September?
Yes, that would be ideal.
I've heard it's
going
to be close. Okay.
Yeah, that would be ideal. Yeah, I mean the buzz a couple weeks ago was that May 9th was the day. And you know, you can't completely rule that out because a lot of times the league only gives us about, you know, 24 to 48 hours that the schedule's coming. So maybe they still are able to hit that mark, but it does feel like it's probably now going to be moved to next week. And again, the league never says anything.
Right.
So it's not like you can't say it's postponed or, you know, they're very clever in that because they never give you any sort of a date of when it'll be done when it's done. It's like Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel and I think it was the Pope at the time comes in and is like, when will it be done? And he's like, when I'm finished. And that's what the NFL schedule is.
I will tell you this. What I can tell you that the reason it's not out yet in part is it's not because it's been finished for 3 weeks and they just can't decide when to release it. There's been some pushback on some stuff. I can tell you the league, I'm not saying it's not done now, but I can tell you the schedule did not get completed by the time the league thought it was going to. That I can tell you. And so that
they've got a lot of moving parts.
I think there's
a big international schedule. I mean, obviously.
Don't think for a minute that has a factor in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to try and figure out where there isn't a glitch in anything.
But you would think that by the end of the regular season, you knew who's playing home and you knew where they were playing. So, and that was, and then, and even at the end of the Super Bowl, then there's nothing else to discuss. Super Bowl's in the middle of February. We are now in the middle of May. That's 3 months later, and it still hasn't been announced. I'll say it again. I don't think this is, well, they've known the schedule for 3 weeks because you know why? Because stuff would have leaked. The reality is some of it, they intentionally leaked some stuff. Some would have intentionally leaked. And some would have just gotten out. The fact that there's been no leaks is because it's not done. And I'm not saying it's not done today, but it's because it didn't get done nearly as quickly as the leak. And I can definitively tell you that's in play.
This will be a storyline where this is one where we'll miss Peter King being retired because he annually would take you inside the making of the schedule.
That's correct.
And maybe somebody else takes up that baton. Hopefully they do. But he always did a remarkable job of giving you the details of where the schedule, you know, the speed bumps they had to navigate around to get the schedule out. And, you know, again, hopefully another journalist is able to provide that because he always did a great job with it. And it's very, you know, in the weeds in terms of the sport, but I always found it really interesting of how the league put together the schedule and, you know, all the triple and quadruple checking that they go through to make sure that the model this computer has spit out this time is one that actually is feasible for them. Because there's so many things. It's not even like the concerts that you have to avoid. And is the stadium available? Is there a college game in that market that day? It's, you know, you really try and keep teams from having to play three road games. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But there's certain things that you try to, you know, from a competitive standpoint, not enter into. So it's obviously taking them a lot of painstaking hours to get to the right schedule, but they'll get there, and it'll be fun when we finally get to see it.
All right, we're going to, in the second hour of the program, we'll talk a little bit about where we want the schedule to fall. Where would you like to see the Jaguars open? Where would you like to see them be at home? Where would you like to see them? Who would you like to see them play in London? So we're going to, in the second hour, after Justin Barney joins us, in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the schedule and how we think it winds up. But after our first break, I'm going to start the program or the next part of the program with this. Mike DeCourcy wrote a fantastic story about college athletics. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Just a fantastic story from the Sporting News. And his premise is, with all this, the sky is falling rhetoric in college football and college athletics, is it maybe not falling? Is it maybe doing just fine? Did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. And it really made me think a little bit. I've got a lot of thoughts on this about college football, where it is. More importantly, Hayes, where it isn't. I mean, I'll give you the abridged. He made some really good points that whether you like it or not, and yes, it's different, but college sports are doing just fine.
They're doing just fine, and it's why these universities should really try and get a collective bargaining agreement done now with these players and give them their if they want 22%, give it to them.
Right.
Because you're getting ready to see this sport boom even more once you do get the playoff online. And if you wait to do it, that percentage is going to go up. So, I mean, if I was these colleges, I would lay down my sword. I would say, you guys are right. You earn money. We will do some back pay as well, whatever it takes us to get us through this litigation. But this litigation is going to include 20 years where you guys are getting 22% of the pie.
Where the question I will ask is, was college football better when we had Emmitt Smith and the Spurrier Gators in the 90s and the Bowden Seminoles finishing in the top four 14 straight years, or JJ's Hurricanes winning 5 titles in a 20-year stretch? Was it better? There's the romanticness to it. There's a romancing of that, right? But was it better? I got a lot of thoughts on that. Mike DeCourcy says no, and he makes some points, and that goes against the grain, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. That's a fun topic. We'll do that. We've got headlines coming up this hour. Justin Barney at the top of the next hour talking about all this great high school baseball is coming up. Where do you want to see the Jags schedule line? We got a lot to do on the program. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Our Tuesday is always brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships. I sure appreciate my friends at Nimnick. Nimnick Chevrolet is located on Cassett Avenue. Nimnick Buick GMC is located on Phillips Highway. I've been buying my cars from Nimnick for the longest time, and I'm going to keep right on doing it. And you should too. Let's talk some college football after this on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Nimnick Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnick, your friends in the car business since 1941.
I forgot to do a song today. My bad. We'll start back up tomorrow. I forgot to do an anthem. I saw a list the other day of greatest guitarists ever. And Clapton wasn't on it.
Really?
Wasn't on it. Can you have a greatest guitarist ever without Clapton? You really can't, right?
Yeah, who did the list?
Well, some idiot, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just saw it. Was it the
guy that had the Jags 26th in his PowerPoint?
Was that the same guy? Might have been the same guy.
Yeah, okay.
He did a different list every day,
yeah,
this guy.
Right.
But he did. So,
how many did he list?
The 10.
Best he 10. Listed 10.
The best 10.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, he had the best 10 ever.
That's
a
mistake.
So there.
Sometimes you try to be so like cutting edge and with your opinion that you just you seem like a dumbass.
Yeah, well that's right. He tried to be out of the box. If Eric Clapton's not on the list of best,
I wish you could pull up the list because I'd love to. Now you've really intrigued me.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
who did it
and B who was 10 were.
What 10 were ahead of Eric Clapton?
Because I have a feeling this could be a list that got just completely shredded.
There's no question. By the way, I'm trying to drink less Diet Coke.
Yes. You've done an admirable job.
That's my one vice. I drink way too many. So Suzanne's got this thing called sparkling ice, like this flavored water thing. Well, but how about this? I'm just kind of looking at the sparkling ice.
Does it have riboflavin?
Well, it probably does. But hang on, I just had something. Hang on, I just lost this. Okay, I just looking at this thing. Hey, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I just learned that sparkling ice is a good source of vitamins B6, B12, and E.
You need those.
You're telling me
yeah.
I get B6, B12, and E
yeah.
in the same drink? This could save my life.
You seem spry.
There's no – what this could
I've
do –
I've always said yeah. your E has been going oh, up recently, I've noticed.
You give a guy B6, B12, and E
yeah.
in one sitting?
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest drink of all time.
That's,
so that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get off the Diet Coke some. Not completely,
good.
But so that's my one vice. Is it my one vice?
And yeah. it
that you, and that and the heroin. And, but and I mean, the heroin you, I can manage.
And so. When you hit rock bottom, how many Diet Cokes a day were you drinking?
Do you really want to know that?
Well, if you want to share it.
10 plus.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that, but I'm not going to lie. You
They're
with
so
me all the time.
Good.
I mean,
yeah.
you knew the answer because of how much time we spent
yeah.
together. So
well, you can
plus.
Help other people.
Yeah,
you know?
So 10 plus. To the,
and
yeah.
now you're down to two. And you
I
have a strategy,
one,
right?
I drink one in the morning
yeah.
and drink one at lunch. And I don't get the refill once. Okay.
Right.
Used to, I'd go to lunch. You know,
yeah.
we'd go to lunch and they'd fill it up five times. You know,
right.
sir, can I refill? Yeah, sure. Sure, bring it. Yeah, bring more of it. Yeah,
right.
sure, bring it up. Yeah,
hit me
sure.
every 5 minutes.
Every five yeah. minutes is right. So anyway, so sparkling ice, what we got?
That's good. And you said you're sleeping better.
I went ahead my physical. You know, yeah. the doctor says, right. you know, you're doing great. Your labs are wonderful. Blah blah blah. Get off the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And because the cat and I would wake up. Now I don't wake up. So there you go.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a
congratulations.
Lot. So I'm very very well.
And you're getting your vitamin
yeah.
E.
And that's the big thing.
Yeah. Because so, I don't think Diet Coke has.
This could last like another day. By the way, yeah. I could be back to my 10. But at least
hey, and when you get there.
Yeah.
We won't say anything.
Just, but at least for now. So Mike DeCourcy wrote a fantastic story, and it got me thinking, I'm as guilty as anybody, Hayes. Oh, it's terrible, and the portal, and the NIL, and it's not the same, and it's a business, and they're well, and this guy, and they don't belong in this conference, and why are they in this conference, and why are they in this world, and what are we doing? And he said, wait a minute. There's more money than ever. Stadiums are packed. Remember, there was a while 10 years ago, 8 years ago, people couldn't pack. Well, now they're packed again. Stadiums are packed. TV rights are off the chart. Kirby Smart just got a $13 million deal. Ask Kirby Smart if football was better when Vince Dooley was making $600,000 a year
mm-hmm.
in the mid-'80s. Well, I'm going to guess the answer is no. So we have more excitement than ever, more good teams than ever, more good – maybe not more great teams, but more good teams. I missed the Spurrier 90s. Obviously, JJ, you missed the great Miami teams. So Seminole fans missed that 14-year run when Bowden's teams were better than everybody, it seemed. But I think college football and college athletics might be healthier than we give it credit for because we spend so much time talking about how what a disaster it is. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think the sport is in a much better place than what it's being made out to. It's just, again, it's fear of change. I think you can make the case that, you know, yeah, there obviously have been some revolutionary changes in collegiate athletics. It's much more transparent. Players were always getting paid, but now it's obviously way more transparent and it's probably more, and it's certainly going to be more once they get settled on everything. But in terms of fan passion, there's been absolutely no indication that anybody is turning their back on the sport. If you were a fan of college football, I don't know a single person that's like, I've stopped watching college football because now the portal and NIL. So again, you know, I think it's just an adjustment of, you know, the new structure and where teams are going to fall in terms of conferences and things like that. But I can't tell you that I've seen the single slightest shred of evidence that suggests that there's apathy in the market for college football or college basketball. And so the money from a capitalistic perspective, it's soaring and it will continue to soar because I don't think people understand what this 12-team playoff is really going to do for college football and the money that it is going to bring in and the ratings that it is going to deliver. And that's why I would say now, again, I would go ahead and make your deal. Make your deal with these players now before they start to see the revenues that are going to start coming in when this 12-team playoff hits. And because in my opinion, it's a stock that's already very highly priced, but that stock is still going to go up.
The 2024 college football playoff final attracted 25 million viewers. That is the highest it's been since 2020, when we were in a time where everybody stayed home. You know, nobody left. You know, so you were, the world changed then, so more people watched TV, obviously, during the pandemic. But since then, it hasn't been that. The NCAA basketball tournament, I didn't realize this, drew an average viewer, an average amount of 10 million per game. Bro, there were 67 games. They averaged 10 million. That doesn't even tell you what the Final Four in the championship game did. That's astounding.
I didn't realize the power of the NCAA tournament until COVID hit. And we heard from Alex Ricker-Gilbert at JU and others that—
when they canceled it.
Yeah, when they canceled it, told us the financial implications for everybody in Division I, how much they make.
Like teams that are not even
correct.
In the tournament.
Correct. Like the A-Sun Conference, that's obviously a one-bid league. Right. But even how much they make off of it. And it is incredible, and again, that's something that it's foolproof. The NCAA tournament is always going to be a cash cow, even if they expand it, which I wouldn't particularly like, but I would certainly understand it. And so college sports is only going to become more lucrative, and again, it's why they should, and they should have done this 2 years ago, but it's too late now. They should just make the deal. Make the deal.
I agree.
Get them on the books for a long period of time and create stability and increase fan confidence. But I don't think they've lost any fans at all.
There was a belief for a while. What's happened? The basketball coaches have had enough of the one and duns, and the AAU coaches having to recruit the players from them, and all the transfer portal stuff. So the old guys are saying, "I'll just get out of it." And you saw this in his story.
Right.
John Calipari just took a new job at age 65. Houston's Kelvin Sampson is 68. Michigan State's Tom Izzo is 69. Miami's Jim Larrañaga is 74. FSU's Leonard Hamilton is 75. And by all accounts, none of those guys are going anywhere. Leonard Hamilton's 75. Larrañaga's 74. The two coaches in our state. And there's no buzz that either one of them are on a hot seat. Right?
No.
So,
the other thing, too, that the article points out that I think is important, look at the play on the court, the play on the
field.
It's strong.
It's fast. It's offensive.
Yeah, I mean, college basketball is probably, in terms of a watch, it's right. Never going to be the NBA.
Right.
And there's certainly going to be college basketball games where it's like, wow, this is a rock fight in terms of, if you have two teams that are kind of having a sloppy night. But for the most part, And his article highlights this, the metrics offensively are way up in college basketball. So you're seeing more clean, crisp, precise offense, which is helping the watch for the fan. And college football, I think, is, it's sort of lost the personality on offense because everybody runs the same thing. But when the spread offense is run well, it is fun to watch. It is a fan-friendly system for sure.
College sports are doing as well as ever. That's the bottom line. We'll take a break. Hayes, headlines are next. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gather round.
It's Hayes' Headlines, presented by Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Hear all about it.
Here's Hayes Carline.
All right, welcome back to the Frangie Show. Frank Frangie, JJ LaSelva. I am Hayes Carline. Thank you to our friends at Harrell & Harrell. Hopefully you won't need them, but if you're ever injured or a loved one, give them a call at 251-1111. Frank, let's get right into it. The NFL schedule might be delayed, but Colts owner Jim Irsay tweeted out earlier this afternoon that it's close.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for that. We had no idea. I thought it was going to be late August, so thanks for letting me know that it might be May.
He also might be talking about the 1987 schedule.
No question. I told you this earlier in the program. I think one of the reasons it's been delayed is it's not done. I'm not going to say it's not done as we sit here, but I can tell you it did not get done as soon as league officials thought it would, and part of that is they thought it was done, and then there was some pushback from teams. I can tell you that.
Joe Burrow is still recovering from the wrist injury, not doing much. Now, obviously, there's a lot of time left, but he's talking about that this was a unique injury, that no other quarterback that he's talked to has had it. He's had to go and talk to offensive and defensive linemen about it, and obviously they don't need the flexibility that, that he does at his position. Any concern for Cincinnati on Joe Burrow? We're in May now.
Well, you remember how weird it looked when he hurt it. That he tried to just throw it, couldn't even throw it all on a side. I thought that was really weird that he couldn't, even in pain, he couldn't throw it all. So, and I don't know enough, we're not doctors, obviously, but there's something very unique to that injury. Yeah, I would say there's some concern. I think if you get to May and an injury you happen, it happened in November or October, whenever it was, yes, I would say there is some concern.
I think so too. They can have Mac Jones for 2 1s and 2 2s, by the way.
I like it.
The Titans have signed receiver Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati on a one-year, $4.5 million deal. So that Zay Jones visited the Titans in the last couple of days, but they end up going with somebody that new coach Brian Callahan's very familiar with, and Tyler Boyd, reliable receiver.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna, I don't want to feel this way because they're the ultimate rival, but I think they're going to be interesting, Hayes. I do. I feel like this is a Titans team that Ridley's there. Boyd is a pretty good player. I'm still not sure I'm sold on Will Levis. But if he is good, they could be bothersome. I do think that.
I'm glad Zay is not signing there. But it looks like he may end up with the Cardinals. He is now visiting there. Again, when veterans visit, normally I would say the percentage is you're going to get a deal done this time of year. So I'd love to see Zay Jones end up with Arizona.
Yeah, I want to see Zay get to continue to play. He's a good guy. He's a good player. And Arizona's out of the way, and I can root for him.
Tiger Woods is in the PGA Championship field for next week. He won the 2000 PGA at Valhalla.
Yeah, I'm glad he's in the field. I think it's great that he's in the field. I think he's anytime he's around, golf is better. I don't think I told you, and I know you and Lee disagree with me, and Lee's forgotten more golf than I'll ever know. But I don't think he can be a factor. I hope he makes the cut so we get to watch him play some on the weekend. But I'm glad he's playing. I'm with you.
Getting to the NBA, the Timberwolves are for real. Up 2-0 on the world champs. Anthony Edwards appears to be a megastar. And Minnesota's defense is just incredible.
I mean, again, you held Denver to 34% shooting, give or take, 34.9. You turned them over 19 times. And the best defensive player on the Minnesota team, Rudy Gobert, who's probably going to be the defensive player of the year in the NBA, didn't play. That's an amazing story, man. The fact that the team that most people just assumed was going to win it again loses the first two in the round of eight, loses the first two to a team at home. Wow. Interesting stuff.
It really is. And again, it's now, I mean, it's now appointment watching game three Friday night at 8:30. So it'll be fascinating to see if the Timberwolves can put them in a 3-0 hole.
Nuggets are 5-1 underdogs to come back and win the series.
I mean,
how
again,
that?
That's a lot.
Well, the thing is, if you watch it, this isn't a fluke.
No.
I mean, they're just
gutting
them. It's
tough for them to get any open shots.
Yeah. And so it's hard to see, particularly now that Minnesota has its crowd behind them, it's hard to see their defensive intensity falling apart.
Right.
So I'm kind of there. I think it's going to be a tough putt for Denver to come back and win the thing. Jalen Brunson is continuing to go just on a crazy level for the Knicks. Scores 43 in their game one win over the Pacers. He is the fourth player to score 40 points in four straight playoff games. He is averaging 36.6 points per game in the Knicks' seven playoff games thus far.
He's a guy in college I didn't think would be all this. You know, his dad was a player. Rick Brunson was a good player, not a great player, at Temple. I never saw Jalen Brunson becoming this.
And he's like 27. He's been in the league for a little bit. So.
Anthony Edwards, people at Georgia said, listen, this guy, we're not very good because Georgia's never very good, but this guy's special. So you're not shocked by that? But Brunson, I never saw that coming.
Doesn't that speak to just how poor Georgia's basketball team is?
You had Anthony Edwards.
You could have Anthony Edwards and four mannequins out there.
Right.
And you would think at least finish with a winning record in the SEC. It's really incredible. Sticking with the NBA, Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs was the unanimous choice for Rookie of the Year, getting all 99 votes. You don't see that very often. Wemby played in 71 games, averaged 21.4 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 3.6 blocks, 1.2 steals. He's the last player to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks in a season since Shaquille O'Neal's MVP season in 99-2000.
Yeah, it's just at some point they got to put good players around him. They can't be lousy forever. But he's got pop, and I will tell you, if they get good, once it happens in the NBA, you can get good fast. All of a sudden, the Thunder are the top seed in the West. You look up, you blink, and the Thunder are the top seed in the West, and the head coach is some guy that used to be a grad assistant under Billy Donovan. You know, so it can happen fast. If they get good fast with him on the team, he'll be the star everybody's talking about.
The Tom Brady roast is still a very hot topic in the world of sports and pop culture as more fallout has occurred from the three-hour roast the other night. Jeff Ross was asked by Rich Eisen if Brady was truly upset by Jeff Ross's Robert Kraft massage joke, and Jeff Ross said no, they were fine. But Tom Brady's ex, Gisele Bündchen, and Aaron Hernandez's family is speaking out over some of the jokes. And I will say, like, if you're Tom Brady, you go through a divorce, and you never know how, you know, amicable it is. Obviously, this one was not, because he had to know the absolute flamethrower that Gisele was going to get for 3 hours in this,
right?
And she absolutely gets it.
Yeah.
And so it's no real surprise that she was very disappointed by the roast.
A lot of jokes about, like, her new lover,
yes,
who's, like, her jiu-jitsu teacher or something.
Yeah. Right, and she's still a white belt. Jeff Ross, by the way, the roast master, I think had probably the best clean line of the roast. He said, Tom Brady looks like a vampire who only drinks almond blood, which I liked. And Brady had a couple great zingers as well. So it'll be fun to continue to see the storylines that come out of the Tom Brady roast. Again, it's on Netflix if you're curious. But pack a lunch. It's 3 hours long. Thanks to Taylor Dahl for this pop culture item. Neve Campbell, will reprise her role as Sidney Prescott in the upcoming Scream 7.
Scream 7.
Neve Campbell was not a part of the last Scream film due to getting slighted on her contract. She felt like she should be paid more. She credited the studio. They have stepped up and paid her what she feels like she is owed. So she will be back for another round with Ghostface.
I don't want to do this long because I know headlines are supposed to be quick and snappy. So this won't be as quick and snappy as it could be. But JJ, let me tell you this. Nothing creepier than being in here during breaks with my friend Hayes Carline and my other friend Taylor Dahl comes in and they start talking about horror movies. It's the most frightening thing of all time. Hey, wasn't that great when that one girl got her head cut off? Yeah, that was great. Remember when the guy got his eyes gouged out? Yeah, that was great. Hey, I can't wait to watch the sequel. What's the matter with you?
I know. Well, and I always
Taylor, what's the matter with you?
And I always feel bad for Taylor because I'm a bad horror movie films like fan, so I don't see a lot of these.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch them like online a year or two later. And so I can never, like, interact with Taylor. She goes and sees it. Like, she'll see Scream 7 the day it comes out.
Hey, Hayes, wasn't that great when the guy had his arm slivered off and all the blood splatted out? Man, that was awesome.
Absolutely. We love it. Well, this will be more your alley, Frank.
Thank you. Is it a rom-com?
Well, it's close. Okay. Tom Selleck wants more Blue Bloods. He can't understand CBS's decision to cancel the show. We now go live to our Blue Bloods correspondent, Frank Frangie, for comment.
Let me tell you this. Blue Bloods is a phenomenal show for old people, of which I am one. And I happened to be watching that day. He was on the CBS, whatever that show they have on Sunday mornings. And he said, listen, we're winning the ratings. We all want to come back. CBS doesn't know what they're thinking. I back Tom in this one. But by the way, just so we'll stay with the theme.
Yeah.
One of the stars of that show is
Bridget Moynihan.
Another Tom Brady ex, okay?
I mean, she
Tom
was Brady mentioned exes are a couple the, times. Yes, she was in the roast.
In about 5:20, this is the tease, this is a radio tease.
Yeah.
Remind me to tell you a Gisele story that you'll enjoy.
I can't wait. All right, on this date, May 7th, we had this spectacular moment.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win! The Bulls win! Set the Cleveland Cavaliers! Michael Jordan hits it at the foul line. 1-100. 20,273 in stunned silence here in the Coliseum. Michael Jordan with 44 points in a game hit the shot over Craig Elo. What tremendous heroics we have had in game five.
Thank you, JJ, for that 35 years ago.
Poor Craig Elo.
Yeah.
I mean, Craig Elo, by the way, Craig Elo and Mark Price were a pretty good backcourt for the Cavs back then. Brad Daugherty was on the team. That was a good team.
Oh, yeah.
And Craig Elo was a pretty good two guard.
He was.
He's remembered for one thing.
That's right.
I mean, you ever say Craig Elo's name, there's only one thing. He's the guy that flashed by when Jordan hung in the air for about a minute and a half and then made that shot. If you're Craig Elo, you see Craig Elo at the bar. Hey, yeah. Craig, good to see you. Man, remember when Jordan shot it? No, I don't remember that. Thanks for telling me that. I mean, that's Craig Elo.
No doubt about it. That is the world of sports. And looking at our final moment in headlines, what we're going to get to, this is sad. The Friends finale aired 20 years ago.
Was it really 20 years
ago? 20 years ago.
Wow.
Friends has been off the air for 20 years. How is that possible?
That is shocking. I would never have guessed that. 20 years ago.
And Jennifer Aniston still looks phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so does Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Wow. 20 years ago. Hard to believe it.
Yeah, no love for Lisa Kudrow in that booth,
I haven't
JJ.
Seen her in a while.
It was a high bar.
But I'm assuming she looks great.
It was a high bar. So 20 years ago, did not realize that. Well done.
Thank you.
Those were very good. We'll take a break. Justin Barney joins us after this to talk high school baseball, so stick around.
Now for the voice of the day. Presented by South State Bank. Welcome to Banking Forward.
Welcome back to the program. Frank Frangie Hayes Car Line on the All Pro Roofing phone line. We bring in our pal Justin Barney from Channel 4. Justin, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Frank, sitting out, and I heard Gibby say 91 degrees, and I'm feeling every bit of it out here at Bartram Trail watching some girls lacrosse as they get ready for the state semifinals and doing a little double with Bartram spring football practice. So a busy afternoon here in St. John. A lot of sports, the intersection of a lot of sports here in spring.
He's always working, Hayes. That's all he knows.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he knows. He's always working. So good. I want to talk to you about the baseball stuff for a little bit today and tomorrow, all kind of quarterfinal games. But let's go big picture first, Justin. I will tell you, I don't think people realize just how damn good the baseball is here. Obviously, I'm very involved in the baseball community. But it's hard to turn on a major league game these days where there's not somebody that was around here somewhere. You agree with me that gets underrated a little bit, or if not underrated, overlooked. People don't talk about it. I think the baseball in Jacksonville, Florida, and in our area is as good as anywhere in the country. I truly believe that.
You hit the nail on the head, Frank. I know a football casts a giant year-round shadow, college, Jaguars, high school football, but man, when you talk about baseball, even winding the clock back, I mean, Brett Myers, first round pick, his son playing for St. John's Country Day over there, committed to Florida, signed with Florida. You got Chipper Jones, baseball Hall of Famer, tons of first round draft picks. Javi Baez, still playing in the big leagues, Marlin Country Day. I remember my buddy Hayes doing a story on Javi way back in the day when he swatted about 26 home runs as a senior in his final year with the Apaches. And just a lot of guys who've even retired too. You got Daniel Murphy, who just recently clocked out. I mean, so many good guys. Ben Gamble, I mean, the list runs deep. And it's not just the guys who are currently in the big leagues. You got a lot of guys in that farm system too. So a chance to hear quite a few more names getting the call up here this season too.
Justin, who are some players that you're watching this season, and who are some teams that you think have a chance to win the whole thing?
I think, baseball is not as strong as softball this year, actually. But I look at a St. John's Country Day and what Tom Lucas has built over there, and it just needs to get over that final hump. State runner-up last year, state runner-up a couple years ago. They have been knocking on the door, and they've got a good, good team this year. And I think St. John's will play for a state championship this year. Hope they get a chance to bring it home. They're the only number one seed in our area this year in the state playoffs. So softball, as I said, has a few more representatives in that number one seed in their region. But baseball, a few number twos. I think Bishop Kenny has a good chance to get back. Of course, the Crusaders played for a state championship last year for Coach Tommy Edwards. Good to see that longtime coach, former Bob West assistant, take the Kenny baseball team there. I like to see them get back there again. And look at teams like all local matchups, Ponte Vedra and Clay. You know, you look at Ponte Vedra, not a great record this season, 12-15, but they're always in the playoffs. They always find a way to get it done. So a lot of teams on the road tonight and tomorrow, but I like a St. John's Country Day. No, it's a smaller school in Orange Park, but I like the Spartans to stand tall. And as a second to that, Trinity Christian, you look at a guy like Brady Harris, one of the top recruits in the country. For a couple years from now, he is leading the Conquerors. They actually have a number two seed in their region. They got a tough way to go, but John Murphy over there has got a quality squad. Would not be surprised to see them make it there in 3A.
I would say the two best teams are probably the ones you said, St. John's and Trinity. Trinity is loaded. Other teams that I want to ask you about. You mentioned Kenny. I think Kenny's very good. Bishop Snyder is 18-8, and they've got Aiden King, a kid that's headed to Florida, who's really good. Bowles and Episcopal play each other, another local matchup. Tell me a little bit more about Bishop Snyder, Kenny, and Bowles. I think they've all got pretty good teams, right?
Yeah, you look at Bishop Snyder. I mean, they were one of the hottest teams in the area before they lost to Trinity Christian in that district tournament. But, Aiden King is he's not the only guy on that team. Aiden, actually, the son of good friends of mine from way back in the day. So I remember Aiden when he was a young kid, and he's going to Florida now. May be the best pitcher in the area in the class of 2024. He is a solid guy. And you got Chase Kick over there at Bowles. He is an excellent one, going to Clemson, and a very, very good player there. He is a good arm, good bat, too. Not as many ABs as him when he's throwing on the mound. But, man, those two guys are good. And Bishop Kenny just good all the way through. Last year Bishop Kenny kind of hung his hat on the comebacks and low-scoring games. You look at a guy like Owen Delaney, though, he's hitting .477. Leading that team this year, the Bishop Kenny team this season, or last year, more defense and pitching. This year, they have got the bats to do it. See if they can get over that hump, though. They got a big one against Baker County right out of the gate.
Justin, Providence, Snyder, Trinity, Bowles, and Episcopal, they're all in the same region. Am I reading that right? They're all the same?
All in the same region. That's going to be a good one.
Wow.
Providence and that Providence-Bishop Snyder game, probably my favorite of the open round. You're going to get Aiden King on the mound. And Providence and Tommy Boss, those guys last year went down to the Final Four and lost a heartbreaker down there. And that is an excellent one. Providence had a very, very tough schedule. They're 13-11 this year. Bishop Kenny, 18-8. Of course, Snyder was, I think they had won 9 in a row before that that loss to Trinity last week. But, man, when Aiden King is on the mound, and Bishop Snyder's got a young team, too. I mean, Aiden is one of the only seniors on that team. And Rusty Kellum's got a good squad over there. I think they're going to be good even after Aiden graduates. And, of course, Tommy Boss and those Stallions. Very good lineup. That 13-11 record, a little deceiving because the schedule they played, a bit more of a national schedule early on. They took some losses. But I love that game tomorrow night.
Tell us about the next wave. Who are some young players that you feel are going to be superstars either this year or maybe in years to come?
Man, I look at that class over there at Trinity Christian. I mean, unbelievable class there. And I think it starts with Brady Harris. He has garnered so much attention. It's pretty cool shot yesterday of him on social media. He got a chance to ask Mike Trout a question. Pretty cool interaction there. But, I mean, Brady is a guy on those Trinity team that's getting love as potentially a top 10 draft pick a couple summers from now. So that is really good. You know, St. John's has always got a good team, but I think you talk about baseball now and it starts and ends with Brady Harris. A lot of other good guys too, but man, to have a recruit like that in this area, pretty phenomenal.
He's a Florida guy, right? Center fielder. Is he going to Florida or am I getting that right? No.
I don't think he's committed yet.
Oh, he hadn't committed. But he's a center fielder that wherever he goes, he's not going to get the. He probably will never make it there, right? I mean, he's going to
go high in that draft. I don't think he sees the light of day in college.
Justin, final question. We talk about all these great players that came out of here. Eric Hurley was a first round draft pick back in the day out of Wolfson. He's now the coach at St. Joseph. They got a good team. They're 19-8. They play Christ Church, who's also pretty good in the region tomorrow. How good is the St. Joseph team? Can they get deep?
Yeah, St. Joseph. I mean, Hurley's done a good job since he got there and kind of really built kind of a quiet sleeper program down there in St. Augustine. Really good story there. They had a good guy last year signed with New Orleans. I think it's Aiden Torres. He's gone now, but they have just continued to build. And Christchurch, a good story, too. Kirk Dugan, the retiring baseball coach, is getting down to the last of his tenure there with the Eagles. So I like that. St. Joseph and Eric Hurley, remember he and Billy Butler worked together back at Wolfson back in the day, first round teammates. They're really cool to see Eric giving back to his community here in North Florida area. But man, he was a darn good pitcher. Now doing it in mentoring young guys down there at St. Joe, and he's done a remarkable job of building that program to the state level that it's become.
All right, a lot of really good teams, good players. It all starts tonight and tomorrow. I say starts, it continues tonight. The regional quarters are tonight and tomorrow. Justin thinks the teams with the best chance to win it all, and I agree with you. St. John's Country Day, they're so good. Tom Lucas has done a fantastic job over there. And John Murphy's Trinity Christian team, they're probably the two, a lot of good teams, they're probably the two best bets. Justin, great work as always. Justin Barney checking in from Channel 4. Justin, thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, we appreciate it. Justin Barney does such a fantastic job. The high school baseball is so good around here. I've seen that Trinity. You know, we had a lot of the teams to build walk-off, and we've had this conversation a lot. We got to raise a lot of dollars to help a lot of these kids at the inner city play. We've got over 700 kids in one of our leagues in the north side. So it's about $100-$150 bucks a kid. Okay, so it's we're spending a lot of money. You know, it's about $100,000 for each of these leagues, so we got to raise money. So we asked before in the many fundraisers we have, our golf tournament's coming up. We've talked about that, but we asked a lot of the local teams to donate home games to our new park, the Bregan Baseball Complex at Fort Family. Everybody said yes. Everybody we asked said absolutely. So we got to see a lot of home games. We got the gate and the concessions, and that helped. That's baseball people helping baseball people, which is a really cool thing. Baseball people kind of paying it forward. But I've seen all these teams. And Aiden King, the pitcher from Snyder, is really good. The Providence has a really good starting pitcher. There's so many teams with really good players. But that Trinity Christian team, the little Rodriguez kid, the shortstop, is so good. Brady Harris, the center fielder, is so good. But there are so many good players on that team. Hayes, they look like a football team in uniform.
Did we see them?
We did see them.
Yeah, were. Big.
They look like football players.
Yeah.
Because they played in our tournament.
Yeah, you
too.
Pointed it out, and then I was like, wow.
I mean,
yeah,
they're big. It's a big physical group of players. I mean, they literally look like football players. I mean, it's amazing how they look. So it's baseball's a big deal around here. It really is a big deal. So congratulations to all those teams that have made it that far, and we'll be watching tonight and tomorrow night as they continue on in the regional quarters. Speaking of baseball, I think Florida is going to miss the tournament.
They have a big game tonight.
Yeah, they play FAU tonight. They're re-adding some midweek games to try and add some wins.
Yeah.
But then they just played now top-ranked Tennessee and lost 2 out of 3. They won. They split the first two and were up 3-0, and Tennessee had the big 11-run inning. This week they play, I think, number 2, Kentucky. I mean, what Kentucky's doing number 2, I don't know, but they're really good at home. Then they go to Georgia, who's ranked. So I don't think they're going to get in. Kevin O'Sullivan's never missed a tournament. He's won a national title. He's been to the finals 2 times. He's been to Omaha 8 times. It's one of the most incredible runs I've ever seen. Are people angry that they're missing it this year? Or does he get the ultimate mulligan? I honestly mean he should be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I think he gets the ultimate mulligan. He just played for the national championship. So, I mean, I can't imagine that there's a Gator that, you know, would like to see him move on. I mean, it's a tough year. He's still getting acclimated to, you know, what the new way of roster building. And, you know, they were expected to be really good. So it's not like, you know, he did something wrong and they were preseason 22nd and have disappointed. I mean, they were supposed to be elite. So, I think it's a blip. It's interesting because I still feel like they will get hot at least enough to get in, despite how brutal the – because they're just due to play good baseball.
Right.
And now you're at the point where – I mean, he after the Tennessee route the other day, he basically was like, look, I've pushed every button I know what to – that I can think to push. I mean, we've been hard on him. We've been soft on him. If you read the transcript of Sully talking after that embarrassment, you can tell he's a coach that's out of answers.
Right.
Well, I mean so it's now or never. Yeah. And sometimes crazy things happen, particularly in that sport. So it's not like they don't have talent. I mean, so go and win your final two SEC, go take 2 or 3 from those opponents and get in and then see what happens. So I still think they get in. For whatever reason, and I don't pay a lot of it. I mean, Florida baseball, if they don't make the NCAA tournament, I will lose zero sleep over that. But I would be surprised if they don't ever at least have some. I mean, baseball teams, that look at what the Oakland A's are doing. Like, even bad baseball teams usually will have a stretch of 2 weeks where they play above their head. It feels like Florida has just played woefully compared to their potential. the entire season.
Well,
so to me, it's almost like they're due to have at least. It doesn't mean that they're good or they found anything, but it just feels like they're due to stumble into a couple of good weekends.
Well, here's what I can tell you: what I think happened. Florida found they couldn't find themselves early. They were losing all those midweek games. JU, Stetson, a lot of teams that typically they lost a lot of the midweek games. FSU buried them three times. They couldn't find themselves. I think as the season got to the end, they finally started playing better, but then they ran into that SEC gauntlet. I mean, let me give you an example of what they ran into. Okay, they were in good shape, and then they got swept at Missouri, and that was the low point of the season. After getting swept by Missouri, they played at number 10 Florida State, lost 2 out of 3 to South Carolina, who's good but not ranked. Then played number 13 Vanderbilt, then number 2 Arkansas, then number 3 Tennessee. Now they play again, who's now number 3 Kentucky. They keep running into these ranked teams, and they could, you know, it's hard, even though you're starting to play better with your young team, now you're running into this ridiculous SEC gauntlet, and you add FSU to that. It's just a ridiculous amount of good teams. That's what's happened to them. And I'm not sure they're tournament worthy. I agree with what you said, by the way. If they win, if they beat Florida Atlantic tonight, they're 25-23.
I thought it was USF tonight.
Is it USF? It is USF. I stand corrected. I said Florida Atlantic. It is USF. My bad. If they beat USF tonight, you're correct. They're 25-23. Yeah, if they won 2 out of 3 from Kentucky, that makes them 27-24. If they won 2 out of 3 from Georgia, that makes them 29-25. They're probably going to pick up a midweek game next week. They'd be 30-25. They'd be in. At 30-25.
They probably don't even have to do that. I mean.
But if they're you're right. But
I mean, we looked at their RPI the other day. They were 18th. Again,
and that would also give them 14 league wins in a really good league. That would make them 14-16 in the SEC. They would probably sneak in. Bro, they've lost 5 straight SEC series.
I get it, but it's Florida, and you have to think at some point
they're
going to stumble their way to winning a couple of SEC series.
It'll be interesting to see if that winds up happening. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I got some other things. How do you want the Jaguars schedule to play out? I want to talk about that. Before the show's over, I want to talk about Greg Doyle, the columnist in Indianapolis, being suspended for 2 weeks. There's a very interesting story there. And I've got to tell you a story someone told me.
About Giselle.
And it's a fantastic story.
I can't wait.
It's after this. Stay with us.
It's a Nemnicht Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nemnicht, your friends in the car business since 1941.
When's your concert? When is it?
I think it's June 2nd.
You're pretty jacked about that, are you?
Yeah, it'll be fun. Jean's never seen him, so I'm looking forward to her getting a chance to, you know, to enjoy it. And
that dude's 80 and
it's
moves
incredible.
Around better than 25-year-old.
I mean, again, it feels like it was just the other day, but it has been 4 or 5 years since they were here.
Was it that long?
Yeah, I think it was. And and I mean,
I loved it.
I loved it too. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it and having fun. And yeah, we'll have a good time.
So, guys love to tell golf stories. Mm-hmm. Guys tell golf stories. So I'm talking the other day, and we're all talking about golf stories. I'm in my neighborhood, and my buddy David lives right across the street, just diagonal across the street from us. Good, one of the all-time good guys. And David said, I just got done playing golf. He said, yeah, I haven't played in a while. I didn't want to get back into it. I said, well, come play with me. We'll go play one time. He's a really good guy. My age, lived down there for a while. And he said, well, I got to get back into golf. I used to play a lot, but I haven't played in some years. I said, that's okay. We'll go out and play. He said, let me tell you about one of my favorite rounds of golf. I played Brookline. I said, really? Brookline in the Boston area. So that's one of the elite courses, one of the elite open courses in America. Mm. There's a list of the best. He said, yep. He said, but it wasn't about the golf. I said, okay. I said, so we're playing. He's a lefty. So I'm showing how I lined up. I'm left-handed. Okay. And someone says, this is where all the so many wealthy people in the New England area live, in Brookline. So the guy says, he said, Frank, this is a totally true story. He said, so someone says Tom Brady lives back behind that little area over there. He said, really? Brady, that's cool. Said, yeah, Brady lives over there. Said, Brady's a member here. So he hits a shot, kind of goes over that way. He said he walks over there and he sees the top of a girl's head. And then it goes away. And he said, that's right where the guy said Brady's house is. And he says, okay. So he looks up, sees the top of a girl's head again, goes away again. He says, huh. So he hits a shot, and he's starting to get back in the cart, looks over, top of a girl's head, goes away again. He said, okay, now I've got to peek through. He peeks through. He sees this gigantic mansion with a trampoline in the backyard and Gisele Bündchen on the trampoline.
Wow.
I said,
God.
That just trumped
that
every
dream.
That yeah. trumped every golf story ever told.
Yeah.
No, nobody else should ever tell another golf story.
Yeah.
I said, I'll never tell you, no matter what, no matter how I got up and down out of the bunker, no matter how hard it was raining, no matter how much my first hole in ones, which I still haven't had, no matter how much I have my career around, I can never tell you another golf story.
See, at Ocala Municipal Golf Club, they just different types of houses around.
How about you play Golden?
Totally different types of girls around.
You played Golden. Go ahead. It's Golden Ocala. But I mean, once you've heard that story,
that's pretty good.
Gisele on a trampoline. Maybe the greatest golf story I've ever
pretty
heard.
Good.
So there you go. So there's that.
Now, was she doing like flips or is it just?
I was so stunned. I just had this vision of, and I
use your imagination.
Yeah, and I did. Yeah. And I did. And so
I'm doing it right now.
As everybody listening is right now,
yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
So did I. So there's Gisele on a trampoline. Best golf story ever told. Jaguar schedule comes out at some point, sometime before September. Where do you want to see it land? Do you want to open? Do you hope they open at home against Houston? Is that your hope?
I mean,
the game.
I'd actually like Houston to maybe be like weeks 12 and 18. You know, I either way. I mean, I'll be excited regardless. But I think it would be better for the rivalry if and for the league if they made those two games later in the season. I don't really have a great opinion on how the schedule should lay out. It's going to look tough when you see it because only seven of the games are here. So just naturally you're going to see a lot of ats and you're going to see a lot of parentheses, which is going to make it look daunting. But in terms of how they open, you know, they don't play the Chiefs, you know, they don't play that first place schedule. So it doesn't have the eye appeal that last year's schedule had. So, I mean, I'm always in favor of, like, can you open with, like, the Vikings, a team like that, you know, the Patriots, see one of these rookies right out of the gate. You know, I think that's always a benefit. There's no such thing as an easy win, but if you could get a team in week one, get off to a good start, build some confidence, you know, particularly for this group, you know, help forget about the collapse last year. I do think it's going to be important for them to get off to a strong start so they don't have to worry about 2023. If they start 3-1, then, you know, they will have erased that for a while. So, you know, but in terms of the opponents, I think you'd almost hope that they open on the road because when you only have seven here,
right.
If you open here and close here, you're going to have five home games in Jacksonville over about a 16-week period.
Right.
I mean, so.
Right. Well, I'll give you some thoughts on how I'll start with the away opponents, okay? The Bears are a road game. I think it's kind of widely known now that that's probably going to be a London game.
Right.
That's going to probably be the Tottenham game. We'll see if that gets announced. So you don't go to Chicago, which I don't love because I love Chicago. It's a great town. So, but I think that's going to be a road game. They play at the Bills. I hope that's the opener. I hope the Bills is the opener because, number one, you don't want to play there with the cold weather. And I want that to be the first game without Diggs, without Gabe Davis. There's some changes up there. There's a significant amount of change. There's some changes here, but more up there. So I hope you get the first game that he's got to play, Josh Allen, that Josh Allen's got to play without those two receivers. So I definitely, my hope is for that is an early game. I hope the Dolphins which is another road game. I hope it's a late game because I know that'll be good weather. So I hope the Bills are early. I hope the Dolphins are late. There is a game. There's a home game. I think we all know by now. It's been reported. There's a home and away back-to-back in London again. We know when that is. That'll be sort of the middle of the pack. I hope that as far as other road games, I do kind of hope the home Texan game is early. I hope the Texans game are early. There's some change there. I would like that to be the home opener. I think there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll play well against them. So
they came in here last September and dominated.
Yeah, they did. They did. And I think that's good for now because it gets your attention. But I would if it start at the Bills, second game home against the Texans, I'm not going to go through the whole schedule.
Yeah.
That's two good teams.
That might be 0-2 you're staring at.
Yeah, but you play a lot of good teams.
Yeah, they do.
I hear you, though. That's the thing. But I will tell you, I do like the Titans late. I like that. I like ending with the Titans, whether it's here or there. Do you like that? That's been kind of their thing.
Well, Nashville's so fun, and
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
But I think the rivalry earned that.
See, I would switch it if I was the league. The AFC South to me has zero tradition. So to me, I would always look at who do we feel like are the two hottest teams,
right?
More upwardly mobile, to borrow a phrase from you, and then I would say that's how you should schedule the back half of that and have those games, you know, two games beyond the week 12 marker. In light of that, I would say Colts and Titans early and get them out of the way and then have two gigantic matchups, you know, if everybody's healthy, for Jaguars, Texans, you know, to meet twice in maybe the final 6 weeks of the year.
And the other game, I hope, the Jags are the only team in the league that has not played on Thanksgiving Day. The Jags do play at the Lions.
I tell you, D-Rock has been all over this. Yeah. I mean, he's our Jaguars Thanksgiving correspondent because he has been eyeing Jaguars at Lions on Thanksgiving for months.
It's almost irresponsible not to do it now when you have one team in the league that's never gotten to do it. One, they've got a pretty good team. They're coming off back-to-back winning seasons. They've got a Super Bowl winning coach, a quarterback that everybody knows. And they do play a road game at Detroit. Mark Brunell is a prominent coach at Detroit, who's one of the best players in Jaguars history. It's almost irresponsible not to have that game, not to have Jags at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. They're the only team in the league that's not played on that day. You can end it. You can solve that now. How do you not do it? I will be disappointed if that's not announced.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've gone through it, and again, this is something D-Rock was talking about the last couple weeks of the regular season, and we were breaking down Detroit's opponents. I want to say there were a couple on their schedule that would be more sizzling matchups, but it wasn't like four or five.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one or two teams, and then the Jaguars would certainly make sense in there.
But this is a year this is an era finally where the Lions have their own sizzle.
Right.
So you wouldn't need the sizzle, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd have no problem with it if that's how it lines up. I certainly think there's a chance that it will line up that way. I mean, it's a good enough game that you could make Jaguars at Lions a Monday night football game.
Yeah.
And I don't think the reaction would be like, oh, my God, you know, well, Jaguars, why are we doing this on Monday night? I think there is a chance it'll be I hope it is for D-Rock's sake because he has poured so much time into it.
Well, me too. I hope – at Bills to start the season, I hope the Texas game, the home Texans game, is early. I hope I like ending the season with the one of the two Titans games. I hope the Jaguars play Miami late in the year because they're on the road there and the weather's warm. I hope they play at Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Those are some of my hopes. We'll see if they come true. We'll take a break. One segment to go in the program. It's 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Nimnik Tuesday on The Frangie Show. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Frangie and Carlion, JJ LaSelva, a couple minutes left to go in the program. We turn it over to Hacker. Hacker will be up next. Skinny Hacker. You seen Skinny Hacker?
I have.
He looks great.
He does.
He did a really good job on that. Hey, one story we didn't get to. I had it on the docket today, never got to it. Greg Doyle, the columnist from the Indianapolis newspaper, one-time columnist for the CBS Sports.com. You know the story by now. He made an inappropriate comment to Caitlin Clark. It went sort of viral. He wrote a column saying he was apologizing. He kind of got ripped for that, too. The apology seemed a little bit narcissistic. So now he has been suspended for 2 weeks, which happens, but then is told for the entire summer he cannot cover a game that she plays in. That was an odd That was odd punitive action, wasn't it? Did that surprise you?
It did. It is a surprise, but I, you know, it was so awkward. And again,
it was really awkward.
Even though he's a columnist and can certainly give his opinion, you still, in the newspaper business, need to maintain a sense of objectivity. And to be asking this rookie
right.
to, you know, signal hearts to him like she does her loved ones,
yeah,
I think it probably it probably makes the most sense to keep him, you know, out of there for a season.
Was he trying to be flirty? Was that
I wouldn't think, because isn't Doyle like late 40s,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
50s?
Oh, he's in his 50s.
He's probably just
50s.
Being like
a
goofy dad
that's
guy.
That's what I think. I don't think it was flirty. Yeah. I think it was more like, hey, I'm really excited you're here. I can't wait to cover you, and I want to be like your
best
friend.
These people don't cover women. And like for us to act like there's not different ways you cover a male athlete and woman athlete is just disingenuous.
Greg's a really good writer. You know this story. He was at Florida. And he was my stringer. When I was the beat reporter at TU, Greg was my stringer. And so I can remember him coming up through the business thinking he's going to be a really good writer.
Yeah.
But he got quirky as he got older in life. He became very caustic by his own admission. I think I've told you this story. I think I've told it on the air. We were in the press box in the Indianapolis press box just sitting at breakfast before the game. And he told me, he said, Frank, he said, one of the things I've changed is I was the guy that I felt like to be the good columnist. You had to rip everybody. Rip, caustic. The hater, and he said, I have determined that I'm not going to be that anymore. Now, if it calls for it,
right.
that doesn't mean you go soft.
Because it was a surprise when he went from CBS to the Indianapolis
Star.
Right,
it was.
It was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but I remember him.
Because he did it voluntarily.
Correct. But I remember him saying, I'm going to make that. And I almost wore like a badge of honor to be the angry, hard-hitting, tough guy that kind of insults people. And he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. And we talked for 20 minutes. I was calling a game, and he was in the press box. And
he writes a lot of wholesome columns for
– he's a very good writer.
Indianapolis,
He's a very skilled writer.
So,
he's quirky.
I think it – you know, again, in this day and age, who knows? Maybe it's an easy way to furlough him for 2 weeks.
That's right. But the 2 weeks didn't surprise me as much as the entire summer you can't cover Caitlin Clark.
Yeah,
that was the, and I'm not criticizing.
Well, I mean, my guess is it really bothered Caitlin Clark.
That's right.
And probably Indianapolis, if they have good leadership, then I would think the Indianapolis Star editor met with Fever Public Relations.
Correct.
And they basically are like, she's kind of sketched out by his presence. Yeah. And he was, then we won't have him out there.
And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I'm not saying they got it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's,
I'm surprised.
I'm trying to put my head around that.
Yeah.
The suspension doesn't surprise me. You hit it. It may be a way to furlough, or you're sending a message that we demand appropriate behavior. I get that part. It's just the other part. It just seemed an odd.
And you would think too, the WNBA is so, you know, in need of coverage.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't shy away from that. So it must have really bothered her for the
guess.
WNBA to basically send away the only columnist in the market.
Right.
Because Indianapolis, as far as I know, is a one-paper town, right?
It is now.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're basically saying to the biggest figure in print media in that market, you're saying stay away. So that must mean that, you know, because if Indianapolis reacted this way and it was a no big deal to Caitlin Clark and in the organization – they probably would reach back out and say, well, you know, we're not going to tell you about the suspension. That's your business. But Greg Doyle is always welcome to come here.
Right, right.
So
and to the paper's credit, they said, okay, we dug our hole here. Our guy dug his hole. If this is the way to handle it. Now, what I do wonder is, if she plays with that team for a number of years, does it change next time around? But again, there's a lot of times. It was an odd deal. So, folks, all right, folks, that'll just about do it for our program. We'll be back tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. Don't go anywhere. Hacker Nation's next. Hacker After Dark is Before Dark. Comes up right now for Hayes and for JJ. I'm Frank Franz. So long.